The Way of the Wise Art, being given by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. Module 5, The Number of Life. Welcome to Module 5. In our last module, we discussed the astral body. This is the spiritual element we hold in common with the animal kingdom. In our work in Module 4, we derived elements of struggle and conflict from aspects of the astral body. The astral has such an effect on our consciousness that Eckhart Tolle christened it the pain body. Look for a moment at the central image on the picture page. I hope this painting by the visionary poet and artist William Blake will inspire you with the essence of the five, for this is the force of life itself, the essence of joy. You may feel there is something familiar about this picture. For centuries it was known by the title suggested by Blake's early biographer, Glad Day. The figure in the painting certainly seems to be expressing joy and freedom, as though in truth a glad day had arrived. Only recently, art historians discovered that Blake had given the painting his own title. Actually, Blake wrote a couple of lines of verse underneath an engraving of the picture. Albion rose from where he laboured at the mill with slaves, giving himself for the nations he danced the dance of eternal death. So far, William Blake. Since the discovery of these lines, the picture has been retitled either Albion Rose or Albion Danced. Before we enter into the meaning of Blake's cryptic verses, we should note that the figure of Albion shows the human figure as a geometric representation of five. Look first at the figure in the top left-hand corner. This is a pentagram. It is a five-pointed star, a very old symbol in many traditions. Now look at the image opposite in the right-hand corner. An artist has created a human body inside the pentagram, which itself is contained inside a double circle. The human figure depicted in this way is based on a drawing known to art historians as Vitruvian Man. This was originally created by Leonardo da Vinci to display the proportions of the human body as a microcosm of the macrocosm. Leonardo's original drawing has the man drawn inside a square. The figure in the top right-hand corner was adapted by a writer named Cornelius Agrippa for his book, Occult Philosophy. Agrippa was making a distinction between the outer proportions of the man shown by Leonardo and the inner relationships of the life body. Where Leonardo was showing the physical relationships, Agrippa was showing the relationship of the human being to the cosmos. Archaeologists were puzzled to find stick figures of the human being in the five-fold Vitruvian Man shape scratched on first century tombs in Palestine. The meaning of these figures is precisely the same as Cornelius Agrippa's image and William Blake's painting, Freedom. Let us return momentarily to the connection between the human being and the mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms. We share a physical body with the mineral kingdom, with the astral body, we share an astral body with the animal kingdom. With the plant kingdom we have in common, a life force body. Once again, we are indebted to the Greek and Roman writers of the early Christian era for the name of this body. Some writers called it the Argoides, quite a mouthful, which means luminous. Other writers preferred the name Aetherodos, which meant created out of the aether, or life force. Fortunately, the second, less tongue-twisting name was chosen by later thinkings, and so we know the life force body is the aetheric, or etheric, body. You may remember in Module 1, the man who is being healed from blindness first saw men walking like trees. In this perception, he was actually observing the etheric body, the body that we have in common with plants and trees. It is worthwhile considering why this body might also be called a light body. Imagine for a moment that you are going to see your own aura. Close your eyes. Feel that you are surrounded by an oval of light, wispy colours starting about 2 feet from your body. As you move closer to the body, the colours become stronger and more intense. Now feel something emanate from within the physical body. This energy has its own colour, but more, it carries a light that illuminates the outer colour. The stronger this inner energy is, the more it lights up the outer aura. Without the light of the etheric body, the astral colours are quite dark. You can see this if you ever discover a copy of Charles Leadbeater's little book on the aura. The colour plates, although beautifully done, show quite dark, impure colours. Where does the etheric get its luminescence from? That comes from the I Am, which is why Jesus told his disciples, "I am the light of the world." There is then a relationship between the etheric body and the I Am. When we viewed the aura, we found the etheric body was either just outside the physical body, or more usually, actually inside the physical. Now remember that the etheric is the body of life force. In other words, the stronger the etheric body, the more vital and energized we feel. As the etheric becomes stronger, it is able to expand outside the physical body. This gives rise to an increase in our feelings of well-being. We might ask the question, what is it that keeps the etheric body limited and prevents it from expanding? The answer is the astral. The astral inhibits and imprisons the etheric body. The etheric body longs to be free, but with most of us, this only happens once in a lifetime, at death. At death, the astral lifts and dissolves away. The etheric now is released. It stretches its arms, metaphorically speaking, and rejoices in its freedom. This picture of the etheric expressing itself in freedom, William Blake drew in the central picture, Albion Rose, and in the mystical verses describing the painting. William Blake was a very rare person. He had amazing visionary and clairvoyant abilities. From a child, he could see into the spiritual worlds. And his first biographer, Alexander Gilchrist, records, while quite a child, of 8 or 10 perhaps, he has his first vision. Sauntering along, the boy looks up and sees a tree filled with angels, bright angelic wings bespangling every bough like stars. Returned home, he relates the incident, and only through his mother's intercession escapes a thrashing from his honest father for telling a lie. Blake developed a very personal mythology to describe his visions. In this mythology, Albion is the etheric. If we realize this, then Blake's description is very apt. Albion, the etheric, rose from where he labored at the mill, physical incarnation, with slaves, the astral, giving himself for the nations he danced the dance of eternal death. The freed etheric dances in the eternity of spirit. There is another level of meaning attached to Albion, but we shall return to this later. It is time now to go to the wise art verse for number 5. In 5 we see the life of man. In it we find his course, his plan. Memory is kept alive from life to life in number 5. We have already encountered 5, the etheric body, as the life force, the life of man. The etheric has another role of essential significance. It is the memory vault of consciousness. We have seen that our consciousness is a product of the soul and I am, working upon the astral. Astral consciousness by itself is unable to learn from the past nor to plan for the future, because the astral can experience but not retain experience. It is the etheric that records every act and every thought we experience over a lifetime. Not only does the etheric contain all these memories, it also contains memories from previous lives. And finally, it contains the blueprint, the plan, of this present incarnation. The tarot card for number 5 is placed in the bottom right-hand corner. The name of the 5th card is the Hierophant. The Hierophant was the old name given to the priest who presided over the ancient mystery schools and was responsible for guiding new applicants into the mysteries. The Hierophant is the individual in the card dressed in a red robe, which is the colour of the life force, and seated between two pillars. He or she appears to be bestowing a blessing on two acolytes in the foreground of the picture. We have seen the two pillars before. They represent the opposites of the spiritual and physical worlds. The Hierophant, then, is a mediator between these opposites. The role of the etheric is that of mediator. In fact, it mediates between the physical body and the astral body. This mediation can have huge consequences for the way our consciousness experiences the physical world. In the first instance, let us imagine an individual who carries around a lot of negativity. Such a person may appear affable and pleasant on the surface, but as you talk to them, you discover that in reality this is a person who is only concerned about themselves. Possession and ownership is very important to this individual. Although he is wealthy and owns several properties, he refuses to give anything to his children. He does, however, spend significant amount of time working on his will, trying to have his ownership continue after his demise. This consciousness is a manifestation of the energies the person has chosen to express within the astral. He chooses to have negative thoughts about his children. He chooses not to give. He chooses to indulge his own whims and so on. After a certain amount of time, usually about 7 years, these currents of thought become so consistent the etheric is able to absorb them. They then become part of the fabric of the life body. Because they are negative elements, such a person will experience a gradual diminution of life energy as the etheric contracts. He will become more and more suspicious of others and even more grasping and possessive in his behavior. The astral patterns have now become established habits. Since the etheric is the mediator between the astral and the physical body, these negative energies will now enter into the physical. Gradually, the person will become less and less free in his movement as the life force retreats within the physical body. Since he would not allow others to be free, he will experience this lack of freedom within his own physical condition. This may manifest as arthritis or other debilitating physical conditions. Since he wouldn't open his heart to others, he develops heart problems. He may live to an advanced old age, but may consider his age a mixed blessing. Now, naturally, there are a multitude of reasons why we manifest physical symptoms. The last thing we need to do is to make judgments of others from observations about their health. In fact, if we knew the effect that developing a judgmental character has on our etheric and then on our physical body, we would avoid judgments like the plague. Sometimes there are deep spiritual reasons for a physical condition. For example, a condition may arise from previous karma, or may be connected with freeing the spirit from the physical existence. Or a physical debility may be taken on to assist others. The more free we allow others to be, the more the element of freedom enters into our etheric body. As the etheric becomes less bound by the astral, it is able to express itself outside the physical body. This has two effects. In the first instance, the physical body itself stays flexible and strong. The second effect is that we begin to become clairvoyant. True clairvoyance contains no judgment. You will have noticed that the Hierophant in the tarot card wears a gold triple crown upon his head. The triple crown represents the opening of the third eye of spiritual vision. As we work with the etheric energies throughout the wise art, you will find that you begin to have different insights into your life and your relationships with those around you. The Hebrew letter that represents the number 5 is He, which is spelt H-E, by the way. He means a window. And if we work within the etheric levels of self, then a window will indeed open onto the world for us. This insight, this window, opens for a purpose. You may have noticed that 3, the number of the soul, plays a major role in card 5. The Hierophant wears a triple crown, holds a triple cross, and has 3 small crosses showing on the front of the robe. The soul needs to work through the etheric to give directions to the astral and to the physical bodies. The astral and the physical are the 2 acolytes kneeling before the Hierophant. Such directions relate to the past or the future. When they relate to the past, then they are connected with past life karma. When they relate to the future, then the soul is giving directions for the unfolding of the life plan. Now that we have raised the issue of karma, we can look at the picture in the bottom left-hand corner of the image page. This is also a card from the major arcana of the tarot. It is known as the Devil. If you compare it with the card opposite, you will discover that it is a sort of caricature or murky reflection of the Hierophant. Again, a central figure dominates. This time, the figure of the Devil. The Devil, like the Hierophant, is giving a sort of blessing to 2 figures. This time, the female and male figures are chained, so they are limited in their movement options. The Devil is, like the Hierophant, a representation of the etheric. But this time, it is the etheric in its role of keeper of the old memories. Such memories may well become very controlling indeed. Let me give an example. In a previous life, a person was a male priest holding a very responsible position. This person was given great gifts of oratory and vision, but he misused these gifts to seduce a young woman. In order to prevent the woman from talking, the priest had her tongue cut out and then sent her into the desert to die. The record of that life does not disappear into thin air. Rather, it becomes recorded within the etheric. The Devil, in this person's life, was the decision of the soul that the karma would be addressed in this incarnation. In the current life, the person, although still very talkative, has lost the power to influence others through speech. In fact, other people find it impossible to take him seriously. Because this individual abused their gift of vision, they are now left hearing voices, which are low spiritual entities pretending to be high spiritual beings. Eventually, this person met up with the one who had been the woman in that life. After a very brief sexual encounter, the woman awoke with deep feelings of revulsion for the man and completely severed the connection. We now come to yet another element of the etheric. The etheric is the base, the origin, of the sexual energy. Notice that we are not saying that the etheric is sexuality, For there is another element that enters into the expression of sexuality, and that is the astral. Through the astral, we decide how we will express our sexual energy. The actual life force between our sexuality is the etheric. For example, suppose a person has a life as a nun or a monk where they, out of their own free will, renounce sexual expression for that lifetime. If they have taken this vow out of a sincere love for God and maintain it, then in a later life, such a person will be reborn with a huge amount of sexuality, but this will be expressed through their conscious choices. They will naturally attract people towards them, but will feel that the choice of relationships lies with them, not with others. On the other hand, if the individual as a nun or a monk broke their vow of chastity and had sex with others, then in a later life they would also be born with a large amount of sexual energy. In this case, however, they would struggle to be in charge of their sexuality, to be the controller and not the victim. Sexual relationships in this instance would be defined rather by who approached them than by particular preferences of their own. Such examples, of course, are only being given in the broadest possible sense, for individual past life experiences and karma will vary almost infinitely. There is a difference between the way we experience the astral and the way we experience the etheric. The astral is a matter of consciousness, so we are able to train ourselves to be the observer, and eventually we become able to control our thinking and reactions. The etheric, however, is beyond the conscious levels. Past life patterns are more like the Jungian complex, a powerful system of thoughts and emotions centered around a core psychological experience. Jung noted that complexes seemed to act like autonomous entities within an individual. Before we leave the devil, there is one more example of what we might term etheric pathology. What is the result of aberrant sexual behavior in an incarnation? For example, what happens if a person rapes a young child and is never held accountable? Such an act creates strong negative destructive energies within the etheric. These energies will eventually enter into the astral in the current incarnation and create isolation, separation, and illness within the personal life. Emotions will never be able to be expressed, and such a person will at best live a life of pretense. In a later incarnation, the etheric pattern will become so strong that it will create the physical body. Such a person may well incarnate with a physical body that is unable to move and in constant pain because they deprived the child of their own freedom of movement and subjected them to physical and emotional agony. Of course, in such a body, they will be deprived of sexual expression and their own life will be shortened because of the misuse of the life force in the previous incarnation. Once again, we have to stress that each situation is unique. A person may incarnate, for example, as a quadriplegic. In order, say, to develop the intellect or artistic ability to a very high degree, This happens because the etheric is no longer available to the lower portions of the body and instead becomes concentrated in the head and brain. On the other hand, the debilitating physical condition may even be part of their own life plan, taken on so they are able to offer hope and inspiration to others, as Christopher Reeve did in the last part of his life. Let us now return to the central image and the second layer of meaning in Blake's verse. Earlier, we indicated that the Albion of William Blake had another significance. This significance lies beyond the individual. We all share in the consciousness of our nation and our culture. This consciousness has its own astral characteristics. Beyond the astral, as ever, lies the etheric. When Blake saw Albion rising, he perceived that in time to come, a change would come about in the etheric energies of his nation. And Albion is, in fact, an old name for England. Blake foresaw that in this freeing of the etheric energies would come a new opportunity for insight and perception. We are fortunate to be living in that time which Blake could only perceive as a future possibility. One of the prime purposes of the Way of the Wise Art is to purify the etheric body. If we commit ourselves to this process, then we shall be able to live as free spiritual beings. Such a development will open our inner vision. In Blake's terms, we shall be able to cleanse the windows of our perception. In this new perception, we shall not need teachers, gurus, masters, or guides, for we shall see for ourselves, and in that seeing, we shall know the truth. And the truth, as Jesus said, shall make us free. As the music returns, close your eyes. Sit up straight and imagine that you are clothed in light, the very pure light rose red of the etheric. In front of you is a large, beautiful chalice that glows with its own gold light. This is the Grail, the source of etheric life and power. Allow the Grail to slowly merge with your own heart. In this merging, feel the cleansing and purification of your whole etheric. Say to yourself out loud, I acknowledge the plan I made before I was born. I accept all responsibility and allow myself the power of my own destiny. Feel the joy of the freed etheric and enter in to the world of pure spirit. Hold this light while the music plays and rest in the silence for a time afterwards. May this next few days, few weeks, be a time of personal power and light.